Thank you, Jerry. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you have your Bibles, would you open with me to the Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 24, please. And let's look together at the wonderful words of life. I'll begin reading at verse 1, and then we'll jump on down to verse 13. And upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were more perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And then in verse 13, And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called, Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he is alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he broke bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon, and told them what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Let us pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it ministers to our hearts and to our greatest needs. And we pray that this morning thou would speak to us, We pray that if there is someone here today who knows not Christ as their personal Savior, that they might come to know Him as such before they leave. I pray for every believer that they might be encouraged and challenged afresh to follow Him. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here who is going along a road of discouragement, that they might find encouragement from these Thy words this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many a game has been won at the buzzer. Sometimes we go home too soon. The home team is being soundly trounced. It's the fourth quarter, and they seem to be so far behind that it would take a miracle for them to win. Each passing moment we remain in the stadium becomes more painful and the seats become harder. We reason to ourselves that if we leave now, at least, we beat the crowd. And we'll be one of the first ones out of the parking lot. And so, quietly, with hundreds of others, we slip out of our seats and make our way to the exit. And we drive home. The next morning, everyone is talking about it. They're talking about the amazing comeback. That special, unique time in sports history. That three touchdowns in the final 2 minutes. Or they're talking about the six-run rally in the ninth inning. Or they're talking about that wild shot that sinks through the hoop at the sound of the buzzer. Now, you're happy for your team, but you're a little embarrassed that you went home too soon. You missed the comeback of the century. Sometimes we go home too soon. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most amazing comeback the world has ever witnessed. And the two on the road to Emmaus were going home too soon. They should have known better. You see, the Bible we hold in our hands is a compilation of stories of men and women who have experienced remarkable comebacks. The Bible is a book of comebacks. There was Joseph. Everyone thought that they had seen the last of him. They thought they would see him no more. As a matter of fact, the last time Joseph was seen, he was being led away in a slave caravan, chained in iron. But the Bible tells a story of a remarkable comeback. For we see him once again, now standing high and lifted up in a position of power and authority, wearing not a chain of iron, but a chain of gold. A remarkable comeback. Moses failed in his attempts at leadership. He made his way into obscurity in the wilderness, and people thought they had seen the last of him. But then he makes a remarkable comeback. This time he's carrying the rod of God in his hands. The Bible is a book of remarkable comebacks. There's Samson. Samson was such a fool. He squandered his opportunities and found himself a captive, chained, blinded, and head-shaven. But then as I read my Bible, I read something remarkable. The Bible actually says his hair began to grow. He made a remarkable comeback. The Bible is filled with stories of comebacks. There's David and Jonah and Peter and Mark and John. The Bible is filled with such stories. There's Naomi and there's Ruth. Again and again, the stories of remarkable comebacks. Luke chapter 24 is the story of the most fantastic comeback the world has ever witnessed, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here in this story, we see the story of the revival of faith, the renewal of hope, and the restoration of love. The story of the resurrection. It offers hope to anyone who has ever thought there is no hope. Perhaps someone has already rolled a stone over the face of the sepulcher of some fallen dream, stillborn ambition, failed marriage, overwhelming failure, or flagging faith. They roll the stone and they seal it, and they think the story is over. Well, the story of Jesus Christ is a story of hope. You see, his enemies smugly watched as the crucified, lifeless body of the Lord Jesus was taken down from the cross. He was carried and placed in a borrowed grave, and a large stone was rolled in front of the sepulcher. A guard was posted, and a seal was set. Everyone gave one great big sigh and went home. The two on the road to Emmaus were some of those. They thought the game was over. They thought God was finished. They thought it was done. If you have a heart like theirs this morning, not so fast. God's not finished yet. You haven't seen anything. The Lord Jesus offers to us a picture of faith and hope and love, and demonstrates for us the power of God in this picture of a resurrection that changed the world. On the morning of the third day, suddenly the earth shook. The tomb broke open like a fragile egg, and life, eternal, come pouring forth. Jesus Christ said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." These disciples should have known better. One of the last words the Savior spoke on the cross were, "Tetelestai," or "It is finished." The Lord Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." He says, "It is finished," and there's a big difference. The two on the road to Emmaus thought he was finished. And so they were just, well, they were going home. But my Bible tells me that Jesus hurried after them before they got too far. And he addressed their hopes, their hurts, their heads, and their hearts. Look at these two on the road to Emmaus. Look at them carefully and see, perhaps, someone you know. I want you to think with me about their expression. Second, their experience. Third, their enlightenment. And then fourth, their excitement. First, their expression. Take a look at verse 14 and following. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held or holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Notice their expression. Their expression is one of sadness. They are sad, the Bible says. They had just experienced the greatest disappointment of their lives, and so they were sad. "Why are you sad?" said Jesus. then, of course, the answer is right here before us. Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look at verse 21, and you'll see why they were sad. But we trusted. Nothing is sadder than to misplace your trust. And that's what they thought they did. Nothing is sadder than to misplace your trust. And that's what they thought they had done. These were disciples. These were followers of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps they were one of the 70. We don't know. But they were disappointed, and they were sad, and they said the reason is we had trusted that it was He. And now they're disappointed. You see, originally they were inspired by the Sermon on the Mount. Originally, they were enraptured by the talk of a new kingdom and a new way. Originally, they were willing to forsake all and follow Him. And they followed Him in His popularity like a rising star. They believed that He was the Christ. They believed that He was the Deliverer, and that He was the answer to the shame and the reproach of Israel. He was to be the next Maccabees, the hammer. He was to be the next Moses, the deliverer. He was to be the next Joshua, and to lead them like an army against the invading Romans. Joshua, by the way, is the Jewish word for Jesus. They thought that He would be their general, that He would be their king. And they had put all of their hopes on Him. As a matter of fact, they heard Him themselves when He said, Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And you know what? They believed Him. They believed Him. And they rushed away from His sermon and told everyone, A greater than Solomon is here. He's here. They followed Him all the way to Jerusalem. And they were only waiting for Him to openly declare Himself so that there would be an uprising and a coming of a new reign of righteousness as they would drive out the Romans. But it didn't happen that way. And so they were giving up on Jesus. And they were going home. We had trusted, they said. Nothing makes a person sadder than to misplace their trust. Now take a look at that person who is forced into the divorce court. How sad their heart is. Why? A misplaced trust. Disappointment. That businessman who thought he had a partner found out that he made a great mistake, and he had trusted someone he shouldn't trust. And he had a misplaced trust, and now he is filled with disappointment, and his heart is broken. His heart is sad. That's exactly what happened to these two on the road to Emmaus. The Bible said that they, as best they could, trusted. And somehow, they think Jesus disappointed them. We had trusted, they said, verse 21, that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Excuse me. He didn't do it like they thought He was going to do it. And sometimes in our life, things don't happen the way we hope they would. And if we're not careful, we're going to join these two on the road to Emmaus, being filled with disappointment and sadness. We had put our trust in Him. We see their expression. The second thing we see is their experience. Why, said the Lord Jesus in verse 17, are you so sad, in your communication. And then in verse 18, and one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Remember, they were in the middle of a deep conversation, no doubt an animated conversation as they were going down this road. Now this third party joins them and inquires as to the topic of their discussion. Why are you so sad? He asked. Haven't you heard these things? Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? What things? Their hearts were filled with things. Their hearts were filled with disappointments. What things? Lord Jesus asked them. And that's a question that I believe that the Lord would ask us every single day. What is your heart filled with? What things? What things? Out of a man's heart are the issues of life. And what was in their heart made them sad. And so the Lord Jesus asked, what things? And they could have enumerated them. They could have said, what things? Hadn't you heard about Judas? We had high hopes of Judas. He was a treasurer. You didn't hear about Judas? He was in the inner circle. Few people were closer to the Lord than Judas. And he betrayed Christ, and he was a traitor. You hadn't heard. Treason is enough reason to be sad. Judas. Maybe they were talking about him. What things? Peter. Peter, the powerful and proud fisherman, the spokesman of the 12. He was going to defend the Lord and pulled out his sword to fight, but rumor has it he even denied the Lord and said that he never knew him. And you ask us, what things? Peter. Maybe they were talking about Peter. Hadn't you heard? All the disciples ran away. They followed him everywhere for 3 years. And then when he needed them most, in the greatest hour of his life, they scattered and they ran away. And you're asking us what things we're talking about? What a disappointment. We thought there would be this great swelling of popularity and that he would be ushered into his monarchy and there would be a new kingdom and that God would rule and reign with righteousness, and it didn't work out that way. All the disciples ran away. Have you not heard? We thought it was he. Jesus was arrested. He was tried. He was beaten. He was humiliated. He was mocked. He was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. And you ask us what things? I want you to imagine with me what they were thinking about. And what they were thinking about produced this overwhelming sense of disappointment and sadness that filled and flooded their hearts. Sometimes our hearts are so filled with disappointment, treason, betrayals, tears, and tragedy that we join the disconsolate down the road to Emmaus. So much so the Lord Jesus could pull alongside of us and ask, why are you so sad? And we would say, haven't you heard? Judas, Peter, faithless disciple, treason, cruelty, haven't you heard? Sometimes we stoop-shouldered walk along the road to Emmaus, going home. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed with sorrow, our thinking is not right, and we give up too soon. And we're just like these two on the road to Emmaus. Verse 15. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Here's a wonderful part of the story. They thought it was over. They thought the war was lost. They thought it was finished. when that stone was rolled to the face of the sepulcher, all of their dreams died, all of their hopes, all of their ambitions. They were going home. But he who arose from the dead to make the greatest comeback the world had ever known teaches us that we too can know the power of his resurrection. The two on the road to Emmaus were going home too soon, but they also were about to make a marvelous comeback, a wonderful comeback of their own. The Lord Jesus, in love, hurries down the road after them. They're going in the wrong direction. God's not finished yet. And so he rushes down the road and he meets them and he joins their company. And the Bible says he draws near and went with them. And they themselves made a comeback. How did they make a comeback? Jesus helped them to make a comeback. Well, they came back to the Bible. They came back to hope. They came back to faith. They came back to joy. And they came back to the future. First of all, they came back to the Bible. All of this talk of rumors, disappointments, circumstances, hurts, broken dreams are useless in destroying and in restoring faith. They destroy faith. What were they talking about? They were talking about their hurts, their disappointments. They were talking about all of the tragedies. They were talking about all of the pain. And none of that is food for faith. Faith cannot be built on our expectations, nor can it be built on our explanations, nor can it be built on our experiences or the experiences of others. Our faith must be built upon the Word of God and the Word of God only, and the Lord Jesus brought them back to their Bibles. Take a look at verse 25. And when he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He brought them back to the Bible and to the things concerning himself. To Bethlehem, where the Word became flesh. To the brazen serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. To the Paschal lamb and the scapegoat. To the 30 pieces of silver, to Psalm 22 and the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To the gall, to the vinegar, to the lots cast for the garments, to Isaiah chapter 53. He took them back to their very own Bibles and he pointed to himself. How do I make a comeback? How do you make a comeback? We come back to the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes we are so filled in our hearts with the things of the world and the problems of the world that swirl around us that we start heading back when it's too soon. God's not finished yet. They made a comeback to the Bible. And he brought them back to himself, verse 27, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. As we would open our Bibles and look for him, we will find him when we seek for him with all of our heart. He's there. From the very beginning to the very end, the Bible is a story of God's love and the promise that he would send for us a Savior and a Deliverer. The Old Testament cries out from the very beginning to the very end, he's coming. The New Testament says, he's come. And it concludes by saying, he's coming again. He brought them back to their Bibles. Second, he brought them back to hope. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. He brought them to his Bible. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? When a farmer plants the seed, he plants, the Bible says, in hope. He doesn't weep over the seed. That's not a funeral, that's a planting. And the Lord Jesus said, except the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And after he brings them back to the Bible, he brings them back to hope, and he says, ought not Christ have suffered these things? Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Look at Psalm 22. Look at Genesis chapter 3. From the very beginning to the very end, these things ought to be because it's a part of God's divine plan. God is on schedule. Everything is working according to God's plan. He reminds them, and they find hope. Third, he brings them back to faith. Verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. They didn't know him until verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of our sight. When did he do that? When he broke bread with them. Before their eyes, suddenly, stood the risen, resurrected Lord of all. And suddenly their faith was rekindled and renewed. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, not dead, but very much alive. He made the greatest comeback the world had ever seen in the resurrection. But here, these two on the road to Emmaus were making their own comeback because of the Lord Jesus. They came back to the Bible. They came back to hope. They came back to faith. Fourth, they came back to joy. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. They came back to joy. Verse 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. What was the difference? They had seen the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ was everything he claimed to be. You see, they had quit too soon. They thought it was over. They thought he was finished. And they were on their road to Emmaus. They were going home. Number six. They returned to Jerusalem, the city of God. They had seen the risen Christ, and now they were returning to Jerusalem to await for the promise and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, they would go out into the world with renewed power, the power of the resurrection. There it is. To put the map in front of you. One direction, they're going home to Emmaus. They were going the wrong direction. God wasn't finished yet. They said 3 days have expired already since these things have happened. And we thought he was the one. And they were going home. The Lord of love rushed down the road and he met them. And he enabled them to make a great comeback. They turned around. Why? Because God wasn't finished yet. They turned around, went back to the city of God, and they waited with the other disciples in the upper room for the filling of the Holy Spirit that not only changed them, but changed the world. Conclusion. O love that will not let me go. Love. Many times I confess that I have been in the company of Cleopas, and I've carried my disappointments like a heavy cross, and found that I could scarcely talk about anything else. my crucified dreams, my hopes, were all left in some borrowed grave. I too seemed to have my eyes holden, and I could not see the day for the night. But every time the love of God hurries down the road after me, and God forces me to take my eyes off of myself and circumstances and to see Him and the power of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Verse 26. Maybe there's someone here this morning. And you say, well, why did Christ suffer these things? Well, He suffered these things for you. He died on the cross, not for anything He did. He died on the cross for what you did. He didn't die for His sins, He died for our sins. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? In other words, it was the only way that you could be saved. The treason, the betrayal, the whipping, the nails, the spikes, the crown of thorns, the cross. Haven't you heard all these things? Yes. All of these things were for you. He did that to pay for all of your sins. But wait a minute. The story doesn't end there. Look at it. And to enter into His glory. Yes, they put Him on a cross. They crucified Him, and there He died. And they placed Him in a borrowed grave and rolled a large stone in front of the door. And that's where a lot of people went home. They thought the game was over. They thought, this is impossible. It's finished. But on the third day, the whole earth shook, as if to say, God's not finished yet. As a matter of fact, He's just begun. And the Lord Jesus rushed down that road, and He's rushing down your road. And He's saying to you that He loves you, and He suffered these things for you, to pay for your sin, and to pay for my sin. And He's not finished yet. Would you not put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Go forth from this place changed and transformed, making the most remarkable comeback called conversion, being changed and transformed by the power of the resurrected Savior, not going down that road defeated, but coming back to the very purposes and the will of God. Yes, the Lord Jesus made a remarkable comeback. But He did that in order for you to make a comeback as well. Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Are you going the wrong way? The Lord Jesus rushes alongside you. He points to Himself. His wounds, His pain, His death. He also points to His resurrection. Come back with Him. Live for Him and serve Him, the resurrected Christ. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for the message of salvation. Thank You for the glorious gospel. Thank You, Father, that the cross is not the end, but it's the beginning. It's the crossroads of faith and hope and love. Thank You for every life that has been changed and transformed by the power of that resurrection. We pray that as we would go forth from this place, that we would carry the message of faith and hope and love to those that need it most, those that are lost in this world without God. And I pray that if there's someone here this morning who is going in the wrong direction, help them to see that the Lord Jesus stands as a barrier and a roadblock, which is their only hope. May they stop, turn around and repent, and follow Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all.